Haven't managed to have access to that recording. It was listed, but I just couldn't get it downloaded. I mean, so let's hope this will work. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Very busy. Yourself?
Yesterday was very busy. I mean, I think that was just hilarious. I just had to tune in. Even when I wanted to tune in, I think I spent at least 2 hours or all in all, just reading and thinking and reacting and all that. But it is actually exciting. So yeah.
It's good to have these discussions, you know. Sometimes there are people, who know a lot about these things and very keen to learn from them, and other times it makes people think. People who are in the space who never thought about it, and they get involved and they go, they start to become aware that maybe there's more than maybe there's more than backlinks.
Yeah, I mean the more I follow your discussions, and especially the presentation was really really great, and it
Thanks.
seems to me that we are really very closely aligned in many many respects. I mean the your idea that your whatever you call it, semantic terms or those things which are themselves nodes. So this is you really got the same meta-reflective bootstrapping. Okay. Like Marc-Antoine, by Marc-Antoine, is coming from topic mapping. So one of the major innovation, if you like, of topic mapping or the stance is that those semantic terms or they themselves are topic. Okay, and
Yes,
I'm
yes.
coming from a sort of real sort of inverted commas computer science, and it is quite clear. I don't know, I might have told you about Metalist and all that. So it is very important to really be able to separate these levels, and it doesn't lead to an infinite regress, because basically you got your domain level, then you have your semantic intention or whatever you like to call those terms. That actually connect, which is your edges or whatever, the one that qualifies the domain content. That's in its own graph, and it
Yes.
makes sense to be in its own graph. Like it's you got a very complex graph, and then you got a million-fold reduction in the size of the graph, which actually leverages the whole thing. And clearly, you will have to have the key concept, your foundation, your primitive concepts, like what is a dot and all that. That will be one more level, but that's it. There is nothing, so it's, I don't know, you have any computer science background or
Just a bit of postgraduate. I did came from humanities, but
yeah.
I
Any
did
anyhow, so
some.
you're not frightened by these things, because I'm
No, I've been.
not expecting you have learned anything. I mean, have you ever come across with the SICP, the Structured Interpretation of Computer Programs? Has it appeared in the
A little bit. I kind of I read Peter Norvig's case studies in Lisp, AI. Read some
Okay,
books
so
on
you have some exposure, yeah.
prologue and forth, and
Oh yeah, I love your comment about Prolog. I didn't have time to treat it. I definitely want to come back the whole point, and I'm sure you have that as well. That actually along those edges that you introduced, the whole point is that instead of having to have buy into a universal way of interpreting, like Prolog is pretty good, but it basically means it forces you to articulate in those terms.
Exactly,
Whereas
exactly.
if you go, I know you do, if you go the other way around, actually this is the whole origin of original Wikinizer, is the idea that why can't I have situated logics, or interpretations basically. So if what you are elaborating is really is a perfect fit for home clauses, within Lisp or JavaScript or whatever, you can basically reproduce the essence of any interpreter without having to be universal. So I mean,
Yes.
I mean, even constraint propagation or horn closed logic or any kind of logic you care to do, you know, it's probably a thousand line program if you got a universal way of accessing any part of a graph. If you can assume that underneath it's not a list or not Lisp or not ML or not any programming language, but the
Yes.
graph itself is your stuff. So yeah, I so what the reason I'm coming to you, because this is why I'm arguing for the separations. But the most important thing, and I'm pretty sure you're getting this by now, the whole point of trailer marks, this minimal idea, that it's open, you know, because I can create my own method. It's like Lisp, you know, because I can. It's really got a built-in metagraphic abstraction. You know, the whole point of Lisp was that because you got a kind of homoiconicity between the basic data structure, which in our case is the graph, and you have a way of articulating its universal function, if you like, or the mechanism that you use, the universal general mechanism that you use to actually interpret it, and you can actually able to inject the semantics in a context-specific way
Yes.
tied to those terms. So effectively, so this is why I really think this trailer marks and mind graph is the kind of stoning for the stone soup, because you can make it whatever you want.
Love that story. I love that story.
Yeah.
I love that story. I used to saw I don't know if you ever saw the series called The Storyteller, Jim Henson Storyteller with John Hurt. Did the storytelling. It was on TV in the 1990s, and the Stone Soup was my favorite
Yes,
rendition.
yes.
They did all these folk tales from around the world. The Stone
Yes,
Soup was
yes.
just such a clever story.
Absolutely. But at the same time, as you know yourself, this is what you're obviously doing. You work on creating that community of interest where you bring these people together. So what I wanted to discuss with you is generally this very idea, because I'm interested in somehow building up a kind of meta design community, people who are interested. It's not just yes, we are interested in the interchangeability. I mean, it is amazing that Ed Jason and your standoff properties are sort of isomorphic in some sense. And I definitely want to explore, probably not now, but at some point very early, I would like to explore how the standoff properties can be articulated in train, have a round trip.
Yeah,
It
I mean the thing is, like, standoff is really simple. I mean, it's
is.
like Desmond Schmidt was saying, like your Blaine Cook was saying, the standoff format is actually just it's incredibly simple compared to XML or
Absolutely. I mean,
HTML or anything like that. And that's the beauty of it.
yes,
And but
yes,
the,
yes.
and the thing is that, but that's but the thing is as well that it's easy to get caught up in interchange formats to say
Absolutely.
we have to have RDF, we have to have standoff, we have to have markdown, whatever. It doesn't it, this comes way later. What's relevant, what the it's not solving the real problem. The problem is in the meta space. The problem
Yes,
is
but
what is a relationship? What is
yes,
a
yes, I
context?
agree. But this is why I suggest that the trademarks and mind graph is addressing that problem at that level
Exactly.
explicitly, so that it's extensible. And in terms of the other thing that is great about it is that it can be, it's a mark in, if you like. You can have any. I mean, the whole point of mind graph is that fundamentally it treats HTML as a hypermedia exchange format. So the only thing to make any HTML, if you like, semantic, is if you just add those clues, which is an add-in, which can be either made explicitly syntactically recognizable, but in fact, even with a jQuery recognize selector can identify it, so you don't even need to add to it a semantic marking. It may be this is I explored all possibilities. So I've done that when actually you do use some class or there's I explored all the possibilities, and these design choices should be available, you know, because you may prefer it this way
Well,
in
I think it's like what you said. I mean, it's a question of premature optimization,
Yeah,
and
exactly. Yeah, I love that. I love that that was picked up.
it's the perfect way of putting it, because we all know that this is a problem in programming, premature optimization. But ontologists forget all that. They forget
In
Velasa.
fact, one of the comments, it wasn't yours, was actually saying that, and I loved the, was it, I've
Brian.
just been looking at some Polanyi work where they explicitly refer to this as sort of second order parasitic, if you like, and I really this I love these discussions because they trigger ideas that may have been sort of lurking there, but it causes the it really is that you this is the whole point that you have some purpose in mind. That's really what the thing that organizes the whole thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
We have to think in terms of something like eventual consistency, like eventual ontological consistency.
Exactly. I mean, we really go back to Engelbart's tree. I don't know whether you come across with that, because that's exactly, they were able to fully collaborate. They had some basically notational conventional structuring, you know, like making the first line of a paragraph to is identifiable, basically. And then they introduced the categories or tags or whatever it is was. And then when they merged people's work, then they went back and sort of tidied up the matter. So it really is that tidy up ability, you know, or at least linking them, even if you just link them. And in and again, meta level, I mean, this is it. Most people, I have problem with that notion. You know, most people are resistant to go meta, you know. I mean, that the, you know, or well, no, they may want to go better, but they then want some rigid rules for it, like R or whatever. That really where the people seems to me, in sort of culturally, which I understand, because unlimited freedom comes chaos, but there's a middle ground, and they really got really, you know, painting themselves into a corner and bind
Well,
them
I
up.
think, yeah, I think, I mean, it's yeah, I think what you're saying is right. I mean, it's meta programming and meta modeling, but I mean, maybe a term that they may be more familiar with or comfortable with as well is the difference between dynamic and static. You know, like everyone understands, you know, the power, the everyone understands the convenience of dynamic typing, and they understand the power of static typing. And now people really do understand that it's good not to be dogmatic about it. You know, to maybe you start dynamic and you start to increasingly put static typing on top, and you sort of tighten the screws a bit, and you say, well, you know, and this dynamic typing may not be literally dynamic typing. It may be like maybe you pass an object around as a parameter rather than a set of arguments, you know. And that allows you to extend the function signature very easily. And this is really crucial for software
No, no, no.
development.
Sorry. There's a slight what I'm trying to do in Minecraft and I want to discuss is not quite dynamic, and it's not that. So the whole point is that if like the parameter passing mechanism is uniform. This is something that obviously modern TypeScript or modern JavaScript supports. That it's like when you write in a style where every function takes an object, okay? That goes into that direction. Now in this case, it's not object you pass around, but a specific reference to a node in the graph. That's all you ever pass. And then, because the node itself has semantics injected in it, how you interpret that semantically marked up structure depends on you. So instead of so in a way that really means that you the user of the node is in charge of in charge of.
Although we have to balance locality against non-locality as well, because that's very rich for local modeling. But then maybe we lose some of the non-local
no, that's another. I good we have this discussion, because all these issues come up. It's so much more difficult to. I haven't had time to drag it, but in the conversation it comes up. The whole point is that, of course, and every node is tied to the context of its creator.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And so the very identity of a node.
Like standoff would be very good for that.
Yes. Yeah. The very identity of the node is contextual, and that context includes whoever is the one who created it, because this is the way way it supports collaboration. Is if we want to collaborate on the same thing, we share share you with one,
yeah.
But you actually you got a copy to sorry.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. You got a copy, and the whole point is that the trademarks. Any addition, I want to show you this in a second. Any addition you make is introduced as a clue, as a trademark itself. So there's and of course you may be able to refer to any part of the context or of the text you talk about. Mm. Yes, but you actually don't touch the so in a way this sort of branching and versioning, instead of having I forked it and now it's mine, no, you always just add conservative additions, and whoever is added is also identified. So then I want to make this the history by construction the history and the provenance to be in fact immutable, an immutable record of the provenance building up. So you can actually go through a time machine, because this is the same as you rightly point out. You already were in a collaborative space because you're collaborating with your previous self. So even in the single user thing, you really need that full machinery in place.
Yes.
Yeah. So coming back to the thing. So coming back to the dynamic, not dynamic. So in that sense, I just answered your question of is it going to be local, global? The whole point is that within your space, you are completely in charge, completely local about it. You the meta terms are also marked as yours, and then it's a separate process when you say, well, actually, yes, we reify that, and within the community, because that's another thing. As soon as you work with it is always assumes a community, because that it's not although you may exchange one to one, but those one to one things are really, really part of some group. So at the group level. Then you can once you agree on the terms and then you can start using those terms or establish equivalence between your local use of the term, and this is how that ontology should percolate up.
Exactly.
So as agreement is reached, they are at a shared, they are part of a shared ontology, and you should be able to. The whole point of that, through this interaction, the more gets shared, the more new users or new people are already given a meta context, which they are also they can create their own variants or diverge. So it's
exactly. Well, so, I think you have something that's more like a consensus-driven ontology.
Yes.
Which also includes non-consensus, which is fine,
yes,
which is
yes,
good.
yes, and
It includes debate and
the crucial
disagreement.
thing that it's designed to be plural.
Exactly.
Pluralism, and I don't know whether you're familiar with this concept of transitional modeling, but
no,
it's amazing. I'll send you some stuff about it. And the whole point is that transitional modeling, the basic assumption that this idea of single version of truth is utterly broken. Every statement, every claim should be attributed, should have a full provenance history.
I completely agree. I mean, that's where Codex began. I mean, that's why I have I've got trait oriented ontologies where every trait is associated, well, it can be associated with a particular speaker or witness.
No. The difference between if you watch we converging is that it's non-optional.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, because as soon as you allow not to, you create, you open Pandora's box.
In my case, it's what's mandatory is that every claim or every statement, whatever, is associated with the logged in user, number one. They can't escape that. But if you are saying, for example, if you want to say, you know, Michelangelo says that these people are paranoid or envious, then I leave it to the user to say, well, who is this statement attributed to? Is it, you know, let's say that they decide not to link it to Michelangelo and try and make something like an objective claim. That person's data set becomes less trustable because they haven't supplied any context. Let's say, although even there, if they are creating the relationships from the text, then the standoff property will take you back to the textual context. So mm-hmm. you can verify in a manual way, yes, this person said this about this. Possibly you could even use natural language analysis to look at the verb phrase structure and to automatically assign some estimate. You know, maybe Michelangelo was the one who said this statement based on, you know, the entity in the sentence. So there are various ways of doing it. I think the important thing is you always associate the user with the statement.
Okay, let me jump in on two points. One is that I really spent over a decade is really asking all the questions and maximizing the simplicity and the applicability. So, for example, that clearly, if you really, really think, which I'm sure you've done, you think about it, the very idea of the logged-in user is not fine enough, because basically we really talk, if you talk about boundless collaboration and person-centered collaboration, then any participant in any conversation is but a persona.
That's a nice way of putting it. Yes, it's a really person, profile,
it's
whatever.
I got my chief technology of scout hat on me in this conversation.
Yes. You know,
here I'm really a pupil of Polanyi, and I'm talking to the Polanyi community. So you know, there's. There is me, Judy, whoever, doesn't really matter. All you need to do that in any context, there is one that created it and that got a provenance. And because this way you really need, because I really think that this is important. Trailer marks is a kind of metalinguistic, metagraphic abstraction, and it's kind of the sort of software conceptual environment. But the whole point is that you have this sort of person-centered architectural paradigm shift, which actually many people now, you probably won't be able to come, but next Thursday, there will be Poly presenting at Fission and all their work. They do the same thing that I do in the sense or fission does in a way, that instead of solid, okay, people or organizations or interested in your data, have some of your personal online database for on behalf of you, and then they rummage in it, they reverse it, they say, well, no. People must have full sovereignty of their private, offline, first, personal, online database, and figure out a way so the algorithm comes to my space, does its work, which I allow, okay, figure out what I'm interested in, and send it back to the BBC, my updated interest profile. Now, so this is the same way. I think, and now industry is beginning to discover this hundredfold reduction in complexity, because what you do, this is, there was an amazing talk with BBC and NatWest has been experimenting with it, that if your data is tied to the person who created it, okay, first, then instead of having a great central database where you have to maintain the users and maintain, and you end up with giant joints to this, because what you're interested in are the personal threads. Now, and this is the same with knowledge. The whole the real problem of knowledge management and collaborative knowledge management breaks down at the point that the focus, they got the wrong, it's really a kind of Copernican revolution. Don't try to bring people's contribution into one place and do something with it. Leave it with the people and work that way. So that shift really simplifies the in a way, this is the other really important thing about MindGraph. This is why I waited for so long, because I knew that the IPFS is coming. Because with the commons-based graph database, because that's what IPFS is. So the idea, I've been doing this for 6 years, that even my Wikidata Explorer and the Freebase, I worked in it such a way that everybody brings to themselves whatever they see. Okay. So there may be a common resource, because then you could actually, with just one switch of the button, you can treat the entire mind graph or which is then interplanetary and available to anybody.
Yes.
So this is why the collaboration. So this is why I insist on yes, you got to maximize the conceptual, shifty conceptual thing. Don't compromise, because the very idea of the logged in user is wrong. Architecturally, it creates a client server centralized architecture, which is actually completely wrong for knowledge work. It is obviously the reason why it is done, because the Freebase or Golden or even Wikidata or Wikipedia, they want to hoard the knowledge. They want to be they want to take the benefit of this to themselves. Yes. But if by architecture you switch that, then it's the participants who benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So anyhow, so I.
No, I agree. I mean, we're definitely seeing technological solutions to the question of distributed hosting. With IPFS, addressability. But we still need to do like you're doing. With trailmarks, of thinking about the modeling of knowledge. I mean, this is the
yes. But this
and also the user interface for that.
Yeah.
UX.
Yes. But what I'm trying to say, that if you figure out at some point, hopefully soon, the very simple mapping of your way of doing sort of single player knowledge work, then within the hub and the trailmark's ability to to stay, which you can actually bring. That's another thing we discussed. But anyhow, so or any way of sharing. If you sort that, then IndieHub, with other, we could sort out that, turn it into this global conversational framework.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, the whole point is that this opens up the possibility of not every knowledge person or knowledge management thing would have to create its own way of sharing, but there could be a shared one for the
Yeah,
future and something that we collaborate, co-create.
yeah.
You know, I don't, I mean, I don't know about want to know your reaction to this. I'm in a way giving away 10 years research because I don't want to make money with this idea. I want to make money because that is out there shared.
I think that's a good approach as well. I think it's hard to make money from this stuff, you know. And I don't know how I will go with, you know, with going down the road of raising grants or investment or whatever, or just trying to sell access to a.
I do have some suggestion which fits into this if you want me to tell
Yeah,
you.
but I also think as well, like I think the other thing as well is. I mean, you can try and float your own boat financially, or you can try and raise the tide, you
Yeah,
know?
that's what we that that's what I, that's what I'm
Yeah.
appealing for. That's
Yeah, and I
exactly.
think we all, you and me and Boris and, you know, and the fishing codes, you know, like it's important to try and raise the tide as well, because everyone benefits from this.
But I mean this the I mean obviously the open commons based fee production, but this is why our positioning framework, because by giving people the personalizability, the malleability of something which actually by construction is shareable. So don't everybody solves the problem and of course work together. You know, I'm not. I mean, I'm not saying, okay, this is it. I actually want to. This is what I would like to do. Invite you and others is to work on it together, just like any type does. You know, work on it in closed source with eventual open source. So basically,
Exactly.
when you are in development, you know,
Yeah.
you really need real deep collaboration. You
Yes.
can't. You don't have the capacity to explain all the things to somebody who comes to you. And I mean, merging a PI.
Also having someone come along who says, you know, I volunteer to help you with your open source project, and then starts to dictate to you how it goes. You know, who doesn't have the background or have
No,
the
you really need
buy-in.
to find the right people, and you
Yeah.
really need to work as a small that small team.
Collective, you know,
Deep knowledge.
independent but collective, you know, like,
So I'm really looking for partners in that, which have. Obviously, I want to launch open. I'm interested. I want to know your thoughts about it. I really think open source. This is what Boris is keep saying. You know, open source is the wrong idea. We want open capabilities. Because I have full access to Memex, any systems in open source, but the ability to make any use of their capabilities involves me to learn their technology anew. It's just such a huge barrier of entry.
Yeah, absolutely.
What we need is people in this space of, and I'm just focusing on call it PKM, whatever you like, the tools for thought, whatever it is. You know, this knowledge management, personal knowledge management space, let's call it that way. I don't know what's the right way for, but people who are really doing this, you're doing you know, I got a whole list of them. You know, all the people who've taken up in yesterday's conversation, they are all got skin in the game. They all been thinking about these very problems. So if these people or some part of it could actually together work on adopting this sort of common framework, and you know, I see it with a full working prototype. You know, I'm not, and in fact, I that's another thing I do want to explore with you soon is that there are levels of the whole point is that I want to be interoperable and co-extensible, co-design, co-meta-designable what you're doing by offering you perhaps one or two modules that you load into your app, and the channel is open. So yeah, all you may have to do is either convert your standoff properties, because that's another thing. If you think about the trademarks, I can show you, it's a perfect, absolutely perfect exchange method. Because the meta thing is just that thing. It's just a hyphen, term, colon, and it can even be plain text.
Yeah.
Because I had it with all links and I deleted it. Mm. I changed it because then it limits me into my thing. No.
Exactly.
I do just like other people go into the CSV for thought idea, if you may have come across. I mean, very, very, it's very,
I haven't seen that, no.
No, this is the speaker in the first group. If you look at his work, Rubens or whatever his name, he basically has the same thing as that I have, dots and everything.
Yeah.
He's got the same idea. The one thing where we diverge is that I say, no, let's make the body just that listicle of claims or text. Mm. He actually abolished. He basically doing everything that I do in Minecraft, if you forget about the body. But the problem with that is that the real value is in the nested high resolution clues, because then you can link clues to clues. Yeah. And you've seen it already. So you got that's the real power. And the point is that all that is actually 100% convertible to Markdown.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be just plain text, because that's what it is. It's you know, you.
That's the beauty of it.
And that's the beauty. That's what I'm saying. That all you need to do is you may. I mean, I'm cutting down the. Well, actually, now I started building up the editor. I just started with a vanilla HTML editor, and the only thing I wanted of it is the ability to create nested lists, so balancing editor for lists. That's the only thing that I use, nothing else, and the ability to actually just paste in any HTML.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a little bit of cleaning up and everything, but so it's a really vanilla thing. And of course, this editor I can make available to anybody who wants to work within this space. So, but I think your standoff property editor can could generate the trademarks compatible format probably with 3 hours work. You know,
I think so. And I think I also have a version of the standoff editor which is open source for people.
Yes, and I would like to use that too. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
And then this new version will be eventually open source as well. I mean, once I kind of iron it out and find out where it fits in everything, but it's going to be open sourced. And
yeah, so actually, I think
it really has to be.
I'm quite happy to work with an eventual open source library. That's the point.
Well, I think it has to go even further. I think I really am thinking about making some version of it, a very, very simple version in VS Code at some point. Something where everyone, because VS Code, which I don't really use that much, but it's a very, very common tool for JavaScript and Clojure and Python.
Yeah, I'm using VS Code. So what do you mean put it into as an extension to VS Code?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it wouldn't try and emulate Codex. That's not the point. The point is you would put a standoff document in there and it would let you add and delete characters and add and delete some basic annotations, but it wouldn't try and get any data. It wouldn't try and style anything.
Yeah.
It's simply, I'm trying to think of what is a universal notepad tool, just like Notepad on Windows, that someone can use to work with Standoff without having to get codecs at all.
Yeah.
And it will work on
Yeah,
the Mac, it will work on Linux.
This is the point about Treyarch's, is
Yeah.
that is the original Minecraft Treyarch itself is already needs only that vanilla editor. Nothing.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
The beauty of it. Yeah.
And that's what I need Standoff to get to almost that point. I mean, it will never be exactly plain text.
You can actually, if you think about it, I'm sure you can see that. You could, I certainly looked at your, and I really would like to see some more, but the point is that I can see that all your Standoff properties can be trivially converted into the sort of Treyarch's notation. There's an isomorphism there, 100%.
Yeah.
And in
yeah.
fact, I'm using the same thing that you do, in which is obviously logical, because if you like, the keys in your thing are equivalent of what I call Treyarch's. You may not consider the concatenation of them, but that's a conservative extension to your model. You know, you don't.
Yes.
I mean, at some point you may find out that adopting some of these things, which is cheap in terms of the machinery that you need, and you don't need to replicate it. That's the other thing. You should be able to leverage what Minecraft or Treyarch offers, because that's also going to be an available, just like another fishing app, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you do your own thing and you have access to it, basically reading and managing your codex world, which is created by somebody deep in codex and fine, because as far as I can see, we are really at the spectrum of two possibilities, and some people will love my listicles, and some people couldn't possibly stand it, and they say, I can only work with codex. But these modalities are different, and they are really significant. You know, that's my vision, is to have all kinds of things, and of course, eventually, you should be able to see that there will be a convergence, because this is the reason why business never went down the route of interoperability.
Mm.
Because they said, well, I want to get rich, so I rather screw my users than empower them. Because if I empower them, because this is the vision which was there from the word go. If I make my capability exchangeable, then I fear that nobody's going to use me. Well, in that case, there are two answers to that. One answer is that you don't need to worry, because the design space is so great. You know, the affordances that one is comfortable with, the level of sophistication is so. I mean, I'm just now building a really minimal cut down thing for Minecraft, just so that it will support conversations around annotations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bother people with all this meta model. I give them five meta terms that they can use.
Yes.
Okay. So you can really, and in a way, the real value will be when, okay, I did figure out an ontology for the project management, and this is actually compatible with anybody else's. But I like Gantt, somebody likes Trello, like, you know, these are all, these should be interchangeable. And I for one, I firmly want to stay in the, in its like people who like Linux and the Emacs and Vim. I'm in the Emacs camp. You know, I value the power of just writing text, which turns into magic, instead of presented with a beautifully laid out buttons, which I don't. And of course, there will be other, like any type and others, they will give you some ability to personalize the button levels as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm firmly in the this is why I gone really haywire with trim rice and just really paint text, because I want that power, you know, I want that power of and that the other thing which is, I don't know how that's the one criticism I have with standoff properties, that this is where actually you know, joining with trademark or mapping to trademark will actually solve that, because there is still a dependence on the if the text changes, then the standoff properties change. If you think about in terms of trademarks, if the text changes, nothing changes. So those references, because
you're right. I mean, in the Codex Editor, the annotations are aligned. But if you take it out of the Codex Editor, then the annotations won't be aligned.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That if you provide a way of dynamically or otherwise map your standoff properties into corresponding trademarks.
Yes. Then you can export it and then
those and use their referential integrity, because that's the whole point of trademarks.
Yeah.
Is that it gives you a high resolution address, which is I always keep saying, okay, there's IPFS is the interplanetary permanent web, content addressable. Mm. What trademarks does makes your tech thing intent addressable, because you understand the trademarks is actually some way of attaching the meaning as you go, and the intent of what is it you're talking about, the purpose or the context, whatever. Mm-hmm. And because your address is tied to the intent, it's permanent.
Exactly. Well, that's the brilliance of it.
So that's why I want everybody to adopt it, because it opens up an intent addressable interpersonal web.
I need to what's the latest publication you have on that at the moment?
There's no publication. What we will have next week, or probably this week, I don't know, we should have a set a time, perhaps next Monday. I would like to be able to, I will be in a position that we can actually, you can join me at that in this meta design work within trademarks. How's that as a next step?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because that's what I need. I mean, this is the whole point, that I don't just want to talk about it. I want to be able to show, and when we play together, you can say, oh, no, it would, I mean, let's face it, I talked to you last time, and you came up with the Kluon, which actually, you know, it's all a matter of articulation. So
exactly, it's good. It's good for us to talk. I mean, it helps us understand so much more domain.
You know? That's what we are created for. You know.
Yeah.
The whole point is that you can only know yourself through the other. That's all it is.
Exactly. On that note, I have to go in a sec, because for me it's getting a bit late. But
yeah. Sorry, and thank you very much. I stopped the recording and send you the recording if it worked. Yeah, okay.
Ah, that's fine. Yeah. Well, let's talk again and have another meeting. And if you want to bring some more people
this time is a good time for me. Is that can you do that, or I can come earlier a bit if you want.
No, this is good, actually. This is good, because the kids are asleep. So
1 o'clock on Monday, you got the back, you got the top spot.
Well, thank you. That's good.
I really appreciate what you're doing, and this is amazing. I'm sure it's mutual, that is to be able to talk with somebody who actually at the very same experimental level, who really it's not just sort of yeah, I know what I want, but you really need to build it out so you can show rather than tell to yourself. So to improve on it, yes.
Oh no, I definitely appreciate that as well. That's great.
Okay, bye bye. I just stopped.
Thanks, Gary.